Well, good morning, Stutzmanville Church family, on a bright, snowy, cold New Year. Thank you, Dennis, for leading us through communion and worship. I was especially touched about the song, God Makes All Things New, and that's our message today. So thank you, Dennis, for that. So as I pondered the message this week, and actually it's been on my mind for 3 weeks now, I wonder, well, what's in store for me in 2026? You know, what does God have in store for me? What challenges, what things am I going to come across in 2026? And before I get too far into my message, I hope each and every one of you had a blessed Christmas with friends and family, enjoyed that time together. And as we walked into 2026, how many people made New Year's resolutions? It's okay to raise your hand. I usually don't. I kind of contemplate what's in store for me. But this one, I want you to ponder, but don't raise your hand for that. So how many of your resolutions or things that you thought about what God has in store for me in 2026 reference your spiritual journey? Reference the Word of God. How about strengthening your relationship with your spouse? Or more importantly, your walk with Christ? So as we get into today's message, Making All Things New, we live in a world that is very tired and longing for something new. I am tired physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We are tired of broken systems, broken relationships, broken promises, and broken hearts. We're also tired of cycles we can't seem to escape. How about sin that we repent yet fall back into just to try and drag ourselves out? Maybe for some of us, it's grief. Grief that just keeps lingering that you can't get past. How about wounds that leave scars? I surely have a lot of those. And yes, as I stand here and look out the door, some of you may be just tired of this white snow, even though winter has just begun. I love snow. You know I love outdoor sports and snowmobiling. But we got a long winter ahead of us. So the longing for something new is not accidental. It was a holy ache. God put that in our hearts, in our being, intentionally. So as I kind of reflected, well, what did I really do that was new? And sometimes I'm riding through the woods and these ideas come up. It's probably not the right thing to do. I kind of back it down a little bit, but I kind of contemplate as you're enjoying nature, watching deer and eagles, and one deer did get within 20 feet of me, which is pretty close on a snowmobile. But I thought about our family cottage, built in 1887 on tree stumps. And I know there's a couple builders or people that dabble in building around here. And the kitchen and bathroom were added on later. And they just kind of set those. They didn't have treated wood or concrete or foundations. They kind of built those as add-ons. And over the years, this cottage, especially the bathroom and the kitchen, kind of were slowly rotting in the ground. And they were kind of patched together by generations of Newberries, but not done really the right way. So some 115 years later, I looked at, well, what would it take to put a handicap bathroom in for my father? And I went down in that crawl space, and it was not pretty. Where do I start? What can I save? And I'll give you this picture, but I won't, don't go too deep in it. So we had a clawfoot bathtub. That clawfoot bathtub had hand-formed lead traps. And that clawfoot bathtub was over a crawl space that wasn't heated. What do you think happened to that trap? It froze. It split. And for many years, maybe even decades, with seven kids in one bathroom, where do you think all that bathtub water went? It went in the crawl space. Unfortunately, it was sand, and the sand, and I won't describe what it looked like, because it was pretty bad. At that point, it's like, what can I save? With other challenges like that, Elizabeth and I decided that we would try to recreate saving wood samples and do something new with the family cottage reconstruction project that my wife says is not done, but it lasted, spanned some 10 plus years. So helping me get from that story back into my message, so I do need to focus on my message. Today we turn into one of the most hope-filled promises in all the scripture, spoken by the one who sits on the throne, "Behold, I make all things new." Not some things, not just spiritual things, not eventually, like me with construction, not maybe. God says, all things new. So today's sermon and my study this week is all about God's great work in renewal. What he has already done, what he is doing now, today, and what he will do when Christ returns. And yes, I do like old architectures, and maybe that's a little bit the urban renewal out of inner city Detroit that rubbed off on me. I do like to save old architectures. But before I get too far into this, please join me in an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift of this new day and this new year. As I rise today, as I begin today, I choose to release yesterday's, last year's burdens and step into the new year, 2026, with hope. Wash me clean of worry, of regret, and fear of what's ahead. Fill me with your peace and guide me on every step I take. Help me to focus on what you are doing right now, right in front of me, and not what's behind me. Let this year be a fresh start, rooted in your love and your grace. I trust that you've already gone ahead of me, and I welcome you. I welcome you and your presence in every moment. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So God's promise of renewal, and I'll get into my scripture that was my study this week, and you'll see how it kind of tied into some events this past month. So in Revelation 21, verse 1 through 5, "Then I saw a new heaven and earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be with his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Verse 4, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Yes, God laid this passage on my heart for Donna's funeral. And I really struggled getting through this passage at Donna's funeral, but it kind of spoke to me. It led me, okay, what's ahead for all of us? Donna's in glory. She's sitting right there with Jesus. Donna's reunited, restored in heaven. But as I thought about this passage, and it's like, well, what does that mean for me in 2026? And what is God's plan for my life and for your lives? And it's not just some New Year's resolution. So let's go to the next slide. If you look at this passage, the promise comes down from the throne. Notice who speaks these words. It's not an angel. It's not a prophet. It's not a teacher. It is the one who's seated on the throne. The authority of renewal does not come from our human efforts, our optimism, our progress. It comes from God himself. And given what's happened in the world today, some may say that history is spiraling out of control. You can make that argument. Others may say, well, history's not spiraling out of control. It is moving towards a restoration under the sovereign hand of God. So if we think about new, new means renewed, not replaced. God is not throwing away creation like some failed science experiment. You know what God is doing? He is redeeming it. This is the same God who said in Genesis, "It is very good." It is the same God who in Revelation will say, it is finished. God is not in the business of abandoning what sin has broken. God is in the business of restoring it. So let's go into 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here." Also for reference in Scripture, Ezekiel 36, verse 26. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." How powerful is that? So my point number two, the problem, how did we get here? Sin broke what God and made good. Creation was designed for wholeness. If you go back to Genesis, everything was in harmony. God and humanity, humanity in creation, humanity with one another. There was no shame. There was no fear. There was no death. Sin brought the fracture, not just guilt. When sin entered the world, it didn't bring just guilt, it brought corruption. Think about that. Relationships fractured. Death entered. Our identity was shattered. And given what is happening in the world today, that's why the world feels like it does. That's why even good things feel incomplete. This is why we experience beauty that's sometimes tinged with sorrow. However, there is a redeeming, a bright future, and that's God's plan. And God's plan was a renewal through Jesus Christ. God's response to brokenness was not distance. It was the incarnation and the birth again and the rising of Jesus Christ. When Jesus arrived, everything changes. So in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is come. The old is gone. The new is here." Jesus didn't come merely to improve our behavior or my behavior. Jesus came to recreate humanity. And the cross is where this renewal was purchased. And at the cross, sin was judged. Death was defeated. Glory to God. And the curse was broken. The resurrection was not just proof that life after death. It was the first glimpse of the new world breaking into the old. So Titus 3, verse 5 tells us, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of God's mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. So continuing on, God is making all things new right now, today. God is renewing our hearts. Think about that. Salvation isn't just about forgiveness. It's about a transformation of our minds, our hearts, and yes, our actions. God is renewing our minds. God reshapes how we see ourselves, how we see others, how we see suffering, and yes, how we see the future. So as I really prayed about this and prayed what God has in store for me in 2026, God has a future for each and every one of you. Draw closer to God, pray about this, and follow where God is leading you. Scriptures that also touched me this week were two scriptures in Isaiah, the first being 43, verse 18 and 19. Forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness, in the streams, and in the wasteland. In Isaiah 65:17. See, I will create a new heaven and earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. So the important thing I want you to take, we need to learn from our past experiences, but don't let your past experiences control your mind, keep you from Jesus, and drag you back into sin. Take this opportunity, take this year, take 2026, to renew, to restore your relationship with Jesus and draw closer to him. The next point, as I was praying about this, God is renewing communities. That's churches. That's Stutzensville Chapel. And you've heard me say this multiple times, God has a plan for this church and this church and this community. Point five, God's renewal does not mean instant relief. God's work is often a process. Not an event, not just if I can get here, everything will be fine. It's a process. And yes, healing can be gradual. Sometimes growth can take us out of our comfort zone. It surely has me. And sometimes growth can be painful. You know, we're so set in our ways. I want to fall back into sin. And sometimes it can be painful. And sometimes I think about faith. And faith is, if I think back about putting the armor of God on, sometimes faith is forged in fire. And I do like that. What was that? That TV show, they make the swords and the daggers and that. But our faith is forged in fire by drawing closer to God, praying, and renewal doesn't mean escape from suffering. Christians still grieve. We still struggle. We still face an earthly death, but we do so with hope. And we believe suffering is not the final word. So trying to bring this to a kind of a conclusion, our future, a world made fully new. God is dwelling with his people. Praise God for that. We read the dwelling place of God is with man. Praise God, amen. There's no more distance. There's no more unanswered prayers. No more longing for God's presence. If I look at God's plan for us and being rejoined with God, he will end the pain forever. And think about that revelation. He will wipe every tear. It's not explain every tear. It's not to minimize them. He says, wipe them away. So when we are fully restored with God, death is gone, grief is gone, fear is gone. Our identity is fully restored. We will finally be where we always were meant to be, without sin, without shame or fear. So until that day, how do we do it? How do we live now? Well, we can live with hope. We can live with hope. Christians aren't naive optimists. You know what we are? We're resurrection people. there is no situation beyond God's ability to renew. And our job is to participate in God's renewal. God invites all of us to join him. It could be reconciling relationships. It could be caring for the poor. It could be praying for the sick. And so on. It could be speaking the truth in love. We don't bring the kingdom. This church doesn't bring the kingdom. You know what we do? We bear witnesses. We bear witness to God's kingdom. And the final point for all of us in 2026, we need to surrender what needs renewal. We know what in our hearts, in our actions. We need to surrender to God what is broken. God is not finished with any of us. Maybe that's our marriage. Maybe it's our faith. Maybe it's our heart. Maybe it's the calling. Maybe you don't yet have a relationship with Jesus. If you don't, I invite you to do that today. To pray. To ask the elders or the leaders of this church to help you on this journey. Today's the day. In conclusion, as I looked at 2026, I'll go back to the title. It's simple. Behold, I am making all things new. Behold doesn't mean to look at something. Behold means to pay attention and don't miss it. God is not done, and he's not done with this church here at Stutzensville Chapel. God is not distant. God is not discouraged. God can make you new. He can make me new. God can make this church new. And yes, in this broken world, God will make the world new again. And one day, faith will become sight, and we will stand in a world where brokenness is only a memory and renewal is complete. Praise God for that. Please join me in the closing prayer. Lord, I'm stepping into a new year in 2026. But honestly, I know it feels uncertain. In some regards, it's exciting. I anticipate it. I don't know what's ahead. But God, I know you're already there. You see every detail, every door, every opportunity. So I choose to walk by faith and not by fear. Teach me, Lord. Teach me to trust your timing and to lean into your wisdom. Close the chapters that need to end and help me embrace what's next with open arms. This is a new beginning. And I want you to be at the center of it all in 2026. Thank you for writing my story with grace. Amen.